ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमाब दिव्य छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रस प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। द अनपैरल्ड स्कॉलरशिप ऑफ निमाई पंडित एंड द अनपैरल्ड स्कॉलरशिप ऑफ प्रभुपाद सरस्वती ठाकुर बोथ आर डिस्प्लेड वेरी ब्यूटिफुली। Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the root cause of all scholarship. His lotus feet is the source, the ultimate source of all wisdom. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described, Yasya prasadat ajnyopi sadyoho sarvajnyatam vrajet sa Sri Chaitanya Devo me bhagavan samprasidatu. What does this verse mean? It says, Yasya prasadat ajnyopi, by whose mercy, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings, ajnyopi, even a fool, sadhyo means the snap of the finger time or the blinking of the eyelid time, quickly, immediately, sadhyoho sarvajnyatam vrajet, even a fool becomes all cognizant, all knowing, knowledgeable, a very big scholar by Mahaprabhu's mercy. Sir Sri Chaitanya Devo me, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhagavan Samprasidatu, may that Supreme Lord be pleased with me, is the prayer of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says, you don't have to have any prior qualification. Patra patra vicharanam na kurute, na swam param vikshate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not see whether someone is qualified, not qualified. But there's one thing that he sees. That is, one has to be sincere. One has to be without duplicity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan, but he is not Kapati Pavan. He is not the uplifter of the duplicitous. Jinke Hriday mein kapat hota hai, unka udhar karte hain, aisa nahi diya hai. Jo patit hain, unka udhar karte hain, aisa diya hai. What it means is those who are fallen. And it's not a problem to be fallen. Yes, we may have a bad past. We may have had committed so many mistakes, so many offenses. We may have lied so many times. We may have cheated others. We may have even stolen. We may have manipulated situations. We may have felt envious. We may have acted on lust. We may have shouted at someone in anger. We may have had feelings that, why he's making more money than me, although I am more qualified than him, or I have more job experience. How is it that I'm not getting a job, but that person, he or she is getting? We may have comparisons on a material front, how that person has a bigger home, or this person has more number of cars, or how is it that in a younger age, he's become so capable and he's become well settled. I am left behind in life. We may have had so many thoughts. We may have acted on them. We may have wasted our time, we may have watched a lot of movies, we may have eaten meat, we may have committed sinful activities, all in the past. Do we have hope? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Henceforth, if we don't commit them, henceforth, if we are ready to be disciplined, henceforth, if we accept the lotus feet of a spiritual master, of a guru, and if he says right means right, if he says left means left. I may like to turn left and he's saying turn right. Maybe I'll turn little right and then I'll turn left. Or maybe he says don't turn left. And then we say, yes, I'm not turning left. But behind the back, we turn left because we like to turn left. You see what we are saying? So to do things that we like, although it is a prohibition, and to not do things that are necessary. So in spiritual life, we have prescriptions and we have proscriptions, which means we have do's and don'ts. Do's are things that must be done, whether we like it or no. Don'ts are things that should not be done, even if we love them. Like, for example, what is the do? The do is to chant minimum 16 rounds in the morning, right? I may not feel like, I may not wake up, I may not like it. I may get bored, my mind get distracted. I feel like looking at the phone. I feel like walking and chanting. I feel like going off to sleep. I feel like chanting softly. I don't like to chant loudly. I don't like to chant 16. I don't like to keep a count. Some people say, "Man mein chal raha hai, ye ginti karne ki kya avashyakta?" You know, why is there a need to make a show of the count? Inside, I'm chanting. All these things we have to keep aside. These are all things from the mind. What is a rule? 16 rounds audibly to sit and chant means we have to do it. Now, no ifs and buts and no excuses and no reasons and no justification. This is the do, even if we don't like it. One very exalted Prabhupada disciple was once mentioning, and I really liked it. He mentioned that very advanced Vaishnav, one of my Gurujan actually. He explained that japa may be the most troublesome thing in the 14 planetary systems, let's say. Japa may be the most difficult thing in the 14 planetary system. Not that it is, maybe for us it is. Still, he said, for me, maybe it is the most toughest, difficult, troublesome, and uphill task to do. But still, I will do it because Krishna likes when devotees chant his names. That's the strongest reason why I should chant. Right? So that is a do. What are the don'ts? The don'ts are to not eat meat. Right? To not intoxicate, not play with money, to not have illicit relationships, to not eat that which is not offered to Krishna. To not waste our time watching movies and discussing sports. In fact, I will read a letter of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, there is a letter here. This is handwritten letter. In fact, our Devahuti Mataji and Chirayu Prabhu only gave it to me. This is a handwritten letter by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Are we all able to see? It's a handwritten letter of His Divine Grace. So Srila Prabhupada's handwritten letter dated 25th November 1966. And it's on my table. I keep it so that we, of course, I still forget, but so that we don't forget. I will read the letter. Notice, title. All initiated devotees must attend morning and evening classes, must not be addicted to any kind of intoxicants, including coffee, tea, and cigarettes. They are forbidden to have illicit sex connections. Must be strictly vegetarian, shouldn't extensively mix with non-devotees, should not eat foodstuffs cooked by non-devotees, should not waste time in idle talks, not ideal, idle, ideal talks are Krishna Katha, idle talks, gossip, should not waste time in idle talks, nor engage himself in frivolous sports. Should always chant and sing the Lord's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. International Society for Krishna Consciousness, 26 2nd Avenue, New York, dated November 25th, 1966, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami, Acharya. Handwritten letter by Srila Prabhupada. So why did I say this? Because of... we were trying to remember and list what are the do's and don'ts. So Prabhupada has written that very easily. And this is meant for all of us on the call. Whether we are initiated or we are aspiring initiation, whatever we read, we can even rewind a bit and take notes of all the points that Prabhupada is mentioning. So if we have had a bad past, we have made mistakes, we have offended Vaishnavas, we have criticized Krishna, we have disrespected Shastra, we have not had any taste to go to Vrindavan, instead more taste to go to Agra and Taj Mahal and whatnot, you know. We may have had a bad past. Do we have hope? The answer is yes. If we accept a spiritual master, and live inside the Lakshman Rekha that he chalks out for us, to do the do's, to avoid the don'ts, and live like a servant at his lotus feet. Then we will get out of this material world without reactions. Absolutely guaranteed. 2-3 days ago, I was hearing one class of His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu live, and he was describing the story of Mrigari. How Mrigari, this is again in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Mrigari's pastime has been described so wonderfully. Long story short, that he had this habit of half killing the animals. Mriga Ari, that was his name. Mriga means animals and Ari means enemy. So he had this habit of half killing animals, and Narad Muni happened to somehow mysteriously walk past his forest and asked him, why are you doing this? Why are you killing them half? And he said, well, this is a parampara given to me by my father. And if I don't kill animals, then what am I going to have for my bhojan? Narad Muni says, you don't worry about it. I will provide. I will provide you everything. So then he falls at the feet of Narad Muni and he said, I have committed a lot of sins. I've been killing animals. Do I have any hope? And Narad Muni says, yes, definitely you have hope. And you have to first break your bow, and then you have to follow my instructions. And he gives series of instructions, and Mrigari follows all of that. And he follows all of that, and he, you know, comes out completely healthy, spiritually healthy. So we are all like Mrigari. We've all made mistakes in the past and in the present, and maybe in the future also. But we must all accept a Narad Muni in our life. Nridehaam adhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karanadharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim nataretsa atmaha. The 11th canto of Bhagavatam describes that we are all drowning in the ocean of this material world. But to get out of this ocean of material world, we have three things that Krishna has very kindly given us. One is the boat, the human form. Second is the captain on the boat, Sri Guru. And the third are the favorable winds, the words of the Shastra. So if we take shelter of these three things, utilizing the human form, the energy properly, and nobody can say, I have no taste in bhakti, I have no time in bhakti, I have no energy, I feel lethargy. Because the energy and the time that we use for things which are not connected to bhakti, we simply have to use that for bhakti. Right? Instead of discussing and singing and talking and chit-chatting and criticizing other topics, we can use that vocal energy in speaking about Krishna and chanting his names, right? Instead of hearing other things, we can hear Krishna Katha. Bhagavatam describes very beautifully in the third canto, Yanna vrajantyagavido rachananu vadat shrunvanti ye anya vishaya ku katha matigni yate shruta hata bhagai nrupa atasaras tam tam kripanti asharaneshu tamassuhantaha. That when someone hears and speaks topics not connected to Krishna, what happens? Shrunvanti ye anya vishaya. By hearing and speaking other topics, ku katha matigni. It is considered to be ku katha, very dirty, bad habit, and matigni. The first thing that discussing other topics does is it takes away our mati. You can all agree to this fact. In fact, we all can vouch for this. We have heard so much and read so much, but when the impulse comes, we forget. Is it not? We forget. We hear so many things. Be as humble as a blade of grass, tolerate like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others except, you know, don't expect anything in return. And when others are shouting, you know, they're slapping one cheek, you show the other. And by that, we make advancement. And it is all my own past karma. We have heard all that. But when it actually happens, we forget. Why do we forget? Bhagavatam describes, Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudakananila vismritir. Very interesting word, vismriti. Smritir punar vismriti tatva vartmano kuyogi namno vitaratyalam varai. Prithu Maharaj, he mentions that when we talk and hear topics not connected to Krishna and we waste our time and energy in things which are pratikul, which are unfavorable, the first thing that it does is it attacks our memory. It attacks our smriti. Although we may have read and heard so much about Krishna, why at that moment we don't remember? Because of our bad habits and doing other things not connected to Krishna, all those activities first attack. This I am not saying, Prithu Maharaj is saying, attacks our memory. And Vismriti Tattva Vartmano, for all of us who forget Krishna, we can remember Krishna by just being in that Lakshman Rekha given by our spiritual master. This is very important. Those who remain in that Lakshman Rekha, those who, like Sita, remain in the Lakshman Rekha of the spiritual master, they will not be kidnapped by the Ravana of material existence. Prithu Maharaj is saying that Sa Uttama Shloka Mahan Mukha Achyuta, Hari Katha spoken by great Vaishnavas. It doesn't come from their vocal cord. It doesn't come from their stomach. It doesn't come even from their heart, because they're all external manifestations of a gross material body. Where is that Harikatha coming from? You see, when we speak, we can feel some breeze, some wind, some energy coming through the mouth, right? We're speaking with so much vigor and force. But pure Vaishnavas, when they speak, it is described Bhavat Padamboja Sudha Kana Anila. The breeze that is coming through their mouth, the Harikatha which is coming, is actually touching the lotus feet of the Paramatma in the heart. When we blabber, we are trying to do it with our ability. But when pure Vaishnavas speak, the Harikatha that they are speaking, Prithu Maharaj is saying this, Bhavat Padamboja Sudha Kana Anila. The Anila, the breeze that is coming while they are speaking, is touching and carrying the foot dust of the lotus feet of Paramatma. And this is why when it gets into the ear of the listener, there is transformative potency. We can bring in so much word jugglery and bring in information, but there is no transformation, right? Why? Because we are trying to, it's like, have you seen the bellows of a harmonium or bellows of an accordion when it's played? You blow into making some sound. As soon as you stop, there is no sound. So our attempt to speak Krishna Katha is like that. It's like the bellows of a harmonium, like some sound, some energy. But pure Vaishnavas, when they speak, it is compared to Ganga, because it's flowing from Gomukh, Gangotri, touching the lotus feet, the foot dust of Paramatma in the heart. So when Harikatha from pure Vaishnavas is heard, their instructions are accepted, and we remain in the fold of their instructions, then nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. However, if we disobey, how much ever knowledge we may have in the head, it is simply the burden of a turban of a very rich king who wears a turban. This again example is there in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that a king who doesn't bow down before the Supreme Lord, although he may be a very great king, that turban on his head is actually like the rock on the neck of a drowning man. It is not taking him higher, it's actually pulling him lower in consciousness. So we may have a lot of information here, and we may have a lot of ability in our fingers, and we may have a lot of God-gifted talents. But if we don't have surrender to the spiritual master and we don't get disciplined by his instructions, we are not getting Krishna, and this is for sure. The reason we are discussing all this is because even Nimai Pandit, the son of Jagannath Mishra, is ready to be at the lotus feet of Gangadas Pandit as a student at the lotus feet of the teacher. Although we understand Gangadas Pandit is the devotee and Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, Gangadas Pandit is the student, Nimai Pandit is the teacher. But in the pastime, Naravat Leela that Sriman Mahaprabhu is displaying in Navadvip, you can imagine how beautifully he may be holding the hand of Jagannath Mishra and going to Gangadas Pandit and offering him obeisances and accepting his instructions. It's another thing that Nimai Pandit was also very mischievous, and that Skresadi Gadadhar Prabhu will talk about tomorrow, because that's the section to follow after this. But the lesson that we can learn is, in all incarnations, the Supreme Lord is ready to accept the authority. As Ramachandra accepting authority. In fact, Sri Ramachandra was ready to go into the forest just by the words of his father. Sri Ramchandra did not sit there justifying what actually happened and what shouldn't have happened, and how Mother Kaikeyi was being, you know, carried away by the words of Manthara and why Manthara is interfering. Ramchandra did not get into any of that. If it was me, I would definitely think of speaking all that. I would first go to Manthara and I'd say, what is your problem? Who asked you? Aapko kisi ne pucha? Aap kyon baat kar rahe hain beech mein? Then I would go to Mother Kaikeyi and I will say, why you're sharing with Manthara what boons your husband gave? You should keep it. The husband and wife should keep their boons between themselves. Why you're going and telling Manthara? And then even if you go and tell her, why are you listening to her and getting convinced? You know that, you know, I will do a better job and I am, of course, the heir to the throne. And but Ramchandra did not speak anything like this. Guruvarthe tyakta rajyo vyacharad anuvanam padma padbhyam priyayam pani sparshakshamabhyam mrijita patarujo yo harindranujabhyam vairupyat shurpanakhya priya viraharusha ropito bhru vijrimba trastabdir baddhasetu khaladavadahana kosalendo vatannaha. Our Shukdev Goswami in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam summarizes the whole Ramayana in one verse, Ekashloki Ramayana, given in the Bhagavatam by Srila Shukdev Goswami himself. So we have of course heard Ramayana spoken by Valmiki Muni and other commentators. But Shukdev Goswami, when he speaks Ramayana, he has used the biggest chanda possible to give an overview of the whole Ramayana. And of course, getting into each phrase of what the ingredients of the verse are will be a topic for another discussion. But the point I'm making is he starts the verse by saying, Guruvarthe tyakta rajyo. I bow down to that Sri Ram who gave up royalty just to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master like father. Guruvarthe tyakta rajyo and vyacharad anuvanam padma padbhyam priyayam. His lotus feet, which is softer than the lotus, were placed on the thorns of Mother Earth while he went from forest to forest, just to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master like father. And Pani Sparshakshamabhyam Mrijita Patharujo Yo Harindranujabhyam. And holding the lotus hands of Mother Sita, he walked from forest to forest. And how was Mother Sita? Mother Sita was also so surrendered. Valmiki Muni, in his Adhikrit Valmiki Ramayana, he explains that Prabhu Ramachandra, when he goes into the forest, he tells Mother Sita, you don't have to come. You please, you're such a exalted princess. When you walk in Mithila, your servants and maid servants place lotus petals and rose petals before you step on them. And your lotus feet is so soft, Mother Sita. Of course, Mother Sita for us. Sri Ramchandra is calling us Sita, Janaki. As you place your lotus feet on the rose petals and lotus petals, the impressions of those petals are found on the sole of your feet. That is how soft your feet are. And now you're saying you will leave all that and you will come with me into the forest. What will you do there? Why don't you live comfortably at home? At that time, Mother Sita, Valmiki Muni writes very, very beautifully. Mother Sita says at that time, yes, Toya, my Lord, without you, yes, Toya, Sargo, that heaven itself without you is Nirasa. And if I have you, the forest looks Sarasa. Yastvaya vihita sargo nirayo yastvaya vina iti janan param pritim gachha rama maya saha. O Ram, please understand that if I come with you, wherever I come with you, whichever part of this earth I come with you, that place is swarga for me. And if I live even in Ayodhya without you, nirayo yastoya vina, that is hell for me. If I am with you, yastoya vito sargo nistoya nirayo yastoya vina, if I am with you, that is swarga. And if I am without you, that is naraka for me. Iti janan param pritim. O Ram, who loves me so much, please understand this. And gachha rama maya saha, please hold my hand and come with me into the forest. So Sri Ramchandra asks Mother Sita, okay, I will take you to the forest, but what will you do there? It will be filled with thorns. What are you going to do there in the forest? I know you want to be with me, but forest is not a place for you. It's filled with ditches and down valleys and jungly animals. And it's filled with thorns and sharp pebbles and shoots and sprouts. What are you going to do there? What are you going to eat there? How will you walk on those thorns? So Mother Sita replies, my dear Ram, yadi tvam prastitam durgam vanam adhyaiva ragava agrataste gamishyami mridante kushakantakan. Mother Sita says that if I come with you into the forest, if you're ready to take me into the forest with you, then I promise you, dear Ram, that yadi tvam prastitam durgam, if you enter a forest, vanam adhyaiva raghava, oh Raghava, if you enter a forest which is filled with thorns, then I promise you, this is my word to you. What is that? Agrataste gamishyami. I will not just walk with you, I promise you, I'll walk in front of you. And mridante kushakantakan, I will simply collect those thorns and throw them away so that you walk without any pebbles and you walk without any thorns. I promise you, my Lord, I will walk ahead and I will pick all those thorns and I will throw them away so that when you walk, it is a very smooth walk for you. And Mother Sita actually did that. Who was the greatest thorn of that time? It was Ravana. So Ram had to go to Lanka to uproot this thorn. But keeping her word, agrataste gamishyami, she walked first. She first went to Lanka to uproot the thorn. And as she went into Lanka, the Supreme Lord, mridante kushakantakan, he walked behind her and entered Lanka to uproot the greatest thorn of that time, the ten-headed Ravana. So the point is, Sri Ramchandra went into the forest, Shukdev Goswami describes Guruvarthe, following the instructions of his superior. We can see the same principle in Krishna Leela, where Krishna, for the sake of his teacher, was ready to go through so much sacrifice. Sandipani Muni asked Krishna as a boon, please get my dead son back. And Krishna was ready to go to Varun Lok. In Krishna Leela, we can see Krishna sometimes goes to Varun Lok, sometimes goes to Yamalok. And Krishna's even taken Arjuna to Vaikuntha for the sake of his devotees. So for Sandipani Muni, Krishna did that. For Devaki Rani, Devaki Rani said, anyway, you are getting your son. You got the son of your teacher. Why don't you get my sons also? The six sons who were killed by Kamsa. If you can get the dead son for your teacher, why not for your mother? So Krishna said, okay. Then he got all those sons back. And it is described, Mother Devaki, when she got all her six sons back, she breastfed all of them with affection. But they all got their spiritual forms and they went back home back to Godhead, because that was the milk that Krishna had tasted. So what were they all drinking? They were all drinking Charanamrits. They were drinking Krishna's Adharamrits. They were drinking Mahaprasad. So after tasting, they all went back home back to Godhead. How much Krishna has done. Even when Krishna went into the forest with Sudama, it was for his teacher to collect firewood. To get punished by his teacher, he was ready to say, I forgot to memorize the verse, dear teacher. Sudama was asked by Sandipani Muni, did you memorize the verse? Sudama said, oh, I forgot. I really forgot. So now Sandipani Muni said, now you have to go into the forest and collect some firewood. And Sudama said, okay. Now next, Krishna, you stand up. Did you memorize the verse? And Krishna thought, if I say yes, then I will be here. But if I say no, I forgot, then I will get a chance to be with my friend. So Krishna said, oh, I forgot the verse. 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, Krishna spoke more than 580 out of them. And he said, I forgot a verse, just to get chastised by his teacher. Just to get bound by Mother Yashoda's love, Krishna was ready to break butter pots and eat mud. So we can see Krishna himself is teaching to take shelter of the spiritual master, to take shelter of the authorities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri, we can see. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj very beautifully explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took shelter of Ishwara Puripad. Right? Mahaprabhu is Kali Yuga avatar, Radha Bhava Vibhushit. So right from childhood, he could have started preaching Hare Krishna Mahamantra and started doing Harinam Sankirtan. But he waited. When he went to Gaya for performing the Pindadan and he had darshan of Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu kahe tirtha yatra safal amar, jatakshana dekhila charana tumar. Mahaprabhu says, O Ishwara Puripad, by having darshan of your lotus feet, now my tirtha yatra is successful. In fact, Mahaprabhu even took dust from the birthplace of Ishwara Puripad and kept it in his cloth. And every day he would have little and he would be in ecstasy that this is the dust coming from the birthplace of my Gurudev. And after given diksha by Ishwara Puripad, then Mahaprabhu started preaching. We see the same thing with Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu could have started his preaching. You know, he's Shonara Parvat. He's the mountain of gold. He's the golden volcano of love, erupting, giving prem. Right? That is Nityananda Prabhu. But only after he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him, did Nityananda Prabhu actually start manifesting. You see that. Krishna also with Sandipani Muni, Ramachandra also, Mahaprabhu also, Nityananda Prabhu also, our Srila Prabhupada also, right? Srila Prabhupada also, initially, Prabhupada was speaking about patriotism and freeing India from the British rule. And then when he told Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur that first India should be free from the British, then we can talk about bhakti. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur said, you're talking about freeing one country from another. I am talking about freeing all the jivas from the shackles of repeated birth and death. Which is a bigger struggle of freedom? Prabhupada said, I was very happy to be defeated by my spiritual master. And then when instructed by Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, then Prabhupada took that and rest is history. So much can be elaborated upon that. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur also, we can see. Saraswati title given. At the age of 7, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur had 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita memorized. And he was doing, at the age of 11, it is described, he was doing the proofreading of Jaiva Dharma for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay. At one point, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur asked Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about a certain book in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is considered to be very exalted in its contents, not meant for general read. So he asked Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur asked his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why not we print this book and distribute? It's so wonderful. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, wonderful idea. We should print, but print only 2 copies, one for you and one for me, not for others. Not for others. And then we see Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur comes to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his own father, and says that without guru, nobody can make advancement. Without surrendering to a teacher and being under their discipline, it's not possible to make advancement. So you please give me diksha. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya says, no. I as the father, biological father, I cannot initiate you. And there are many reasons why. Because familiarity breeds contempt for us, not for them, but it's a lesson taught for, you know, yadyada acharati sreshtas, whatever great men do, common men will follow. So because of familiarity, we sometimes take our parents so much for granted. And that's not the relationship how it should be with the spiritual master. So therefore, not possible. Also, when the child is born, the father may pick up the child. And the child in his, you know, childish frivolousness may move his legs and may even kick his father. Right? And the father doesn't mind because the relation is father and son. But now if the father becomes the spiritual master, then the disciple gets the guru aparad of kicking his spiritual master. Right? So these are some considerations. So, of course, not meant for them, but it's something for us. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay told Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, you should take Diksha from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And all of you know the story, but we are just hinting different incidents to instill this point of Guru Nishtha in our heart. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur goes to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, says, I want to take Diksha from you. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj says, no, I don't give Diksha. I'm not qualified. You're such a big Saraswati. You're a Pandit. You know physics and mathematics and astronomy and astrology. And you've studied so much. You're encyclopedia of everything. I don't even know to read and write my own name. So no, I don't give Diksha. So he came back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, till the time he doesn't give you, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj doesn't shelter you. Not possible. Go back. And little Bimal Prasad came back to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, okay, I will, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sent you. I will definitely consider. Let me ask Mahaprabhu. Whatever Mahaprabhu says, I will do. Now, please note, this is a story 200 years old. Not even so much, 100 years old. In fact, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj left in 1914. So much before that, 150 years ago. So Mahaprabhu was 500 years ago, manifest presence. But look at the connectivity, the wireless connectivity that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj has. He says, I'll ask Mahaprabhu and I'll let you know. You come tomorrow. I'll ask him and let you know. Then little Bimal Prasad goes again and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj says, oh, I forgot to ask. Okay, you go, I will ask him. And he does that 3-4 times and little Bimal Prasad says, I am going to jump into the Ganga and give up my life if you don't give me shelter. My life is useless. Please accept me. So Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj agrees. And he takes some dust from his lotus feet and sprinkles on the head of Bimal Prasad, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur says, as the dust particles from the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj touched my head, I fainted in ecstasy and all my misconceptions were burned to ashes. Of course, he had no misconceptions, but Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur surrendered. So Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. This shows us a very important principle. Externally, if you see, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur was very intelligent and very knowledgeable and very skilled. And he was very clever and witty and poetic and respected in all circles. Very excellent and erudite, articulative orator. And Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj externally didn't seem to be like that. He would keep away from society. He would chant the holy name. And he was not someone who gave a lot of talks. He would claim that he doesn't even know to read and write his own holy names in the form of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. But still, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur surrendered to him. Why? To teach all of us this lesson. The greatest lesson that we can see here is a Vaishnav is not judged by how much he knows. Vaishnav is not judged by how much information he can hold. A Vaishnav is not seen by what background he comes from. A Vaishnav is not seen by how good an orator he is or how much in tune with society he is. A Vaishnav is seen by only one consideration: his humble, surrendered attitude to the chanting of the holy names. Which Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was the highest example for. 24 hours of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur writes that if I would have seen my Guru Maharaj worship Krishna's holy names for 23 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds and keep 1 second for his sense gratification, I wouldn't have surrendered to him. But 24 hours he was chanting the holy name in complete surrender. And this is what attracted my heart to his lotus feet. So from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's perspective, we learn that a Vaishnav is to be seen only by his main quality of Krishna Eka Sharanam. How much he surrendered to Krishna. And how can we see that? We can see that by how much he remains in the Lakshman Rekha of his guru's instructions. That's the surrender. How do we know how much surrender we have? We can just see how many things we do, how much time we give, how much energy we give, which is anukul, and how much time we waste in pratikul, Anukul means favorable, pratikul means unfavorable. We can just ask ourselves, how many times do I know I am going against what my Guru Maharaj actually speaks and preaches? But I have fun, you know, so how does it matter? How many times do we do that? And or how many times do we tolerate temptations and continue to remain under the shade of our Guru Maharaj's kalpavriksha-like shade? That is surrender. So from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's standpoint, we see that the Vaishnava is seen by devotion and surrender. And from Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur's perspective, we see that without surrender, we may have so much knowledge, but he's teaching us. We may have so much ability and skill and aristocratic birth and wealth and beauty and talents. Purva Janma. Kalabi Purva Sanchite. Whatever comes from past lives. That's like a fuel that our car is going on. Whatever we are doing today is by Panditya Janma Safalya. You know, whatever we have collected over past lives. And that's the petrol that's keeping our car going. But very soon we are going to run out of fuel because that is limited. Whatever we have done in past lives, out of that blessings, our car is moving now. But that's limited. That's material. But if we keep ourselves in the mood of being under our spiritual master's instruction, because that is spiritual, it'll keep us going forever. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Have you seen many times? I'm pretty sure we may all have seen. In villages especially, you can see this example. When someone's biking for a long time on a bicycle, on a cycle, and they get tired, they see a truck going past. So what they do is they just hold on to the truck. Have you seen people do that? So by the speed of the truck, they are moving. They don't have to pedal. That's exactly what Guru Nishtha is. Our spiritual masters are like the trucks. In fact, they are aeroplanes. They are helicopters. They are rockets. We'll not even be able to hold. But for us, those rockets are appearing to be like trucks. So our pedaling is like sadhana. We are doing sadhana only to the point to catch up to that truck. Once we hold that truck, then now we are moving by the energy of the truck, not by our pedaling. Very important, right? One more example can be given. Let's say there are a lot of mosquitoes. And if you have a mosquito net, you put a mosquito net and you're sleeping under the mosquito net. And if the mosquitoes are moving over the mosquito net, you think that's a problem? Is that going to trouble us? It's not going to trouble us because now we are under the mosquito net. Let's say we step out of the mosquito net. What happens? Now those mosquitoes will trouble us. Is it not? So whatever reactions from past lives are there, whatever kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madmatsarya we have, they're all like mosquitoes. They are coming to suck our spiritual blood. But if we sit under the mosquito net of the instructions of our guru, lust may come, anger may come, greed may come, envy may come. They're like mosquitoes. It doesn't trouble us because we have decided to be under the mosquito net of our Gurudev. Whatever is going to happen, now Guru Maharaj, our Guru Parampara will take care. The time we step out of the mosquito net, that's when past reactions will, like the mosquitoes come and suck our spiritual blood. This is what Krishna says. Mamekam sharanam braja. Come under the mosquito net of our Guru Parampara. Krishna is saying, Aham tvam sarva mosquitebhyo. Mokshishyami Mashucha. I will protect you from all the mosquitoes. Not papebhyo, mosquitoebhyo. I will protect you from all mosquito-like papa. The reactions from past life. Whatever lusty thoughts, angry impulses, whatever may come, they are all like mosquitoes. They take away our spiritual credit. But at moment to moment, we should try to think, am I under the mosquito net of what my Guru Maharaj wants me to do? This is very important. Nimai Pandit in this section is offering obeisances and taking blessings from Gangadas Pandit and teaching all of us, whoever we may be, we can even be born in Navadvip on the banks of the Ganga as the son of Jagannath Mishra. But perfection lies in surrendering to our authority. Even Vyasadeva, isn't Bhagavatam starting like that? Vyasadeva starts, he tries on his own, but it doesn't happen. Then he sits morose and then his Gurudev, Devarishi Narad Muni comes and instructs him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And following the instructions of his Gurudev, Vyasadev compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. So even Vyasadev teaches us, I am the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, but only when my Gurudev instructs me, And I follow that. Will I also succeed as an author? Then Srimad Bhagavatam comes out. Before that, the Vedas came. Before that, the Puranas and the Upanishads came. But only after following the instructions of the spiritual master did Srimad Bhagavatam, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam manifest. And something very interesting, dear devotees. You can see in Shastra statements like this chapter. Anybody who reads this chapter, they will get a son. Anybody who reads this chapter, they will get a long life. But anybody who studies Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the Phalashruti? They will get unadulterated devotion to Krishna. That's the best. That's the highest. So you can see when Vyasadeva was doing things on his own, the Phalashruti were also like that material. Like you'll have a long life. You may have a son. You may be, you know, Putravan Dhanavan Loke Dirgayu Upajayate. Yam yam kamayate kamam tam tam prapnoti asamshayam. But when he followed the spiritual master's guidance, then the Phalashruti that came out of his own writing was bhakti, was prema pumartho mahan, was love of Godhead. And you can see Krishna does not call any Puranas, any Veda, any Upanishads as himself. But Bhagavatam, he says, it is me, Vangmai Swarup. Tamadi Devam Karuna Nidhanam, Tamala Varanam Suhitavataram, Apara Samsara Samudra Setum, Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. In the Padma Puran, Krishna says, I appear as Bhagavatam. And every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a limb of my body. Why does Krishna say that? Because Bhagavatam is the fruit of a sincere disciple surrender to his spiritual master. Isn't Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj also teaching us the same thing? Parikshit Maharaj, when he had 7 days, what is, when someone is, let's say, you know, in the court of justice, or let's say someone gets a death sentence, they will ask, you know, what's your last desire? So when Takshak was pronounced by Sringi in the form of a curse, what is your last desire? And Parikshit Maharaj said, 7 days, I want to hear from the lips of my Guru Maharaj. Sitting on the banks of the Ganga in the association of Vaishnavas, let me just surrender and listen to my spiritual master. And that is Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita also manifested after surrender to the spiritual master, is it not? Till the time Arjuna said that, Krishna, you're my friend, nothing manifested. Only first chapter manifested. And what came in that first chapter? Anxiety. Bow was slipping and mind was reeling. But when he said, Karpanya doshopahata swabhavat prichhami tvam dharma samoda cheta yachreyasya nishchitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. After that, Bhagavad Gita manifested. So many examples we can see in the life of Lokanath Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, such a great prince, considered the perfection of his life to clean the stool and urine of his guru. To clean the stool and urine of his guru. That is what he considered to be the perfection of his life. He comes from an aristocratic family. He came to Lokanath Goswami and said, I want Diksha. Lokanath Goswami said, I am not qualified. I don't give Diksha to anyone. Narottam Das Thakur wanted to serve Lokanath Goswami. But the only thing that Lokanath Goswami would not accept from anyone is service. And that's the only thing Narottam Das Thakur wanted to offer. So he was seeing Lokanath Goswami is hardly eating anything. Even if he eats, it's out of Madhukari. He doesn't wear much clothes. It's just skopin. He lives under trees. So what help can I give? But he saw every day he went to attend nature school. So Narottam Das Thakur would hide 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And before his Gurudev came, the whole place was so clean. It was so pure. It was completely fragrant and aromatic. In fact, as soon as Lokanath Goswami would do the needful and go, Narottam Das Thakur would jump out of the bush where he was hiding. And with his own hands, he would clean with so much affection. He would say, my only service in this life is to serve my guru. And the only thing I can do for him is to make this clean, this place as clean and as comfortable as possible. And he would clean with his own hands. He would use water, fragrant water. And with his own hands, he would clean. Srila Radhanath Maharaj explains like how a pujari cleans the altar of the temple. Narottam Das Thakur cleaned the place for his Guru Maharaj. And he would decorate with flowers and leaves because he considered that to be the sitting place of his Guru Maharaj. And then when Lokanath Goswami saw what was happening, he was shocked. He said, why are you doing this? And Narottam Das Thakur said, I just want your mercy. Nobody ever gets Krishna without surrendering to the spiritual master. I just want this one principle. You please accept me. And Lokanath Goswami accepted and sent him to Jiva Goswami. And then rest is history. This great Narottam Das Thakur was predicted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came on the banks of the Padma River. And in fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stored his love for Narottam Das Thakur in that river and told Padma River, whenever my Naru appears and he comes to bathe here, you please embrace him with this love of Godhead. So it's described that Narottam Das Thakur, he was little dark complexioned, but when he went into the Padma River and he bathed, he was touched by the waves of the Padma River and the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for him flooded his heart, and Narottam Das Thakur came out with a golden complexion after bathing. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we can see, we were making this point from Srila Radhanath Maharaj's class, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was so surrendered to Ishwara Puripad. But why was he surrendered to Sri Ishwara Puripad? What was so special in Sri Ishwara Puripad? The special thing in the life of Sri Ishwara Puri is that he was 100% surrendered to his Gurudev, Sripad Madhavendra Puri. And this attracted the heart of the Supreme Lord so much that Sri Hari himself came to become a disciple of such a great disciple. Sripad Madhavendra Puri, in his last days, manifest pastime, he was crying and weeping in separation from Krishna. And another disciple by the name Ramchandra Puri, he was not able to understand why his Guru Maharaj was crying, because tears are generally considered to be an outpour of tamogun and hankering and lamentation, etc. So he was saying, you know, why are you crying? Don't cry. But his spiritual master, Sripad Madhavendra Puri, was drowning in the pangs of separation. Pralapya mukha sangarshi madhu dhyane lalasayaha. Srila Kaviraj Goswami describes the pangs of separation of Sripad Madhavendra Puri were seen in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Gambhira, he was locked with doors and locks so that he doesn't come out. But he would find the smallest hole on the wall possible and would try to run and escape the room through that hole to go out and find Krishna. And sometimes his face would bleed, and sometimes he would rub his face against the wall to make a hole to get out. And he would say, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And sometimes he would jump into the ocean thinking that this is Yamuna, convinced that this is Yamuna, finding the pastimes of Radha and Krishna there. Sharad Jyotsna Sindhur Avakalanaya Jata Yamuna Brahmadhavanyosmin Hari Virahata Parnava Iva Nimagna Murchala Payasi Nivasandra Trimakilam Prabhata Prapta Swaihi Avatu Sasashi Sunurihanaha. Srila Kaviraj Goswami Pad describes the separation of Mahaprabhu reminded everyone of the separation of Sripad Madhavendra Puri from Krishna. Of course, when Sripad Madhavendra Puri was departing and in his final days of finding so much separation from Krishna, he was passing urine and stool in the place where he was. It was Ishwara Puripad who was singing the favorable songs and verses to increase his crying, because they were pure tears of separation from Krishna. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan and he saw Srimati Radharani cry, initially he was thinking, why is she crying? What is there to cry? Crying is considered to be a weakness. But after Uddhava, in his heart, he made place by Radharani's mercy for Braja Prem, for the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Later, Uddhava tells Srimati Radharani in Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't know whether I should say stop crying, or I don't know whether I should say continue to cry, because the perfection of life is to cry. How can I say stop crying? And at the same time, how can I say continue to cry? I am in that predicament. So Ishwara Puripad was singing verses and songs according to the mood of Sripad Madhavendra Puri and menially serving him. And Sripad Madhavendra Puri so happily blessed Ishwara Puri with the treasure of Krishna Prem from his heart. And this attracted the heart of the Supreme Lord so much that Sripada Ishwarapuri was a Niswartha Guru Sevak. That Krishna himself, when he came as Srimati Radharani and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that Ishwarapuri to be his Guru Maharaj. So therefore we can see that surrendering to the spiritual master is the essence of everything. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Adau Guru Padashray. First of all, surrendering to our superior. Because by surrendering to the superior, what happens? False ego is dissolved. Till the time we are on our own, who is chanting? I am chanting. Who is reading? I am reading. Who is worshipping? I am worshipping. Who is doing parikrama? I am doing parikrama. This type of bhakti can purify the heart, but will never give us Krishna. 100%. Why? Because it is like trying to flap one's wings as a bird while being caged in a cage. You can try to flap your wings as much as possible while being in a cage. You're not going to get out. Only when someone outside opens the door can the bird fly out. So only by Krishna's mercy, when Krishna opens the door of the cage of this world, can the bird actually fly out. Whatever we are trying to do inside is only flapping the wings. We are not getting out. Who is doing japa? I am doing japa. So ahamta is there. Who is doing parikrama? I am doing parikrama. Ahamta is there. So because we are thinking, I am chanting, I am reading, I am hearing, I am doing parikrama, I am worshipping the deity, all these activities end up pumping our false ego because I am doing it. Then I am the preacher. He is not so good a preacher. I am a better preacher. Oh, he's not so good a singer. I am a better singer. He's not so good a cook. I am a better cook. So in the attempt of actually serving Krishna, because I am doing it, that activity is pumping and nourishing our false ego. And now we think I am better than others and so many things. How did that develop? When we joined ISKCON, when we started Krishna consciousness, we don't start like that. But over years, now we are convinced that we are better than others and we think we are special. So what is that thing that got nourished? The pride. So what is the way out? Should we stop our sadhana? No. The bird must flap the wings so much that the person outside feels some pity and opens the door. So our sadhana is only to make Krishna look at us. Ultimately, when he desires only, we will get him. Our sadhana cannot get him. Our sadhana can maybe catch his attention. But only by his attention, by his mercy, can we be freed. And how is that possible? We have to do all the limbs of bhakti. But we should think, my Guru Maharaj is so kind that he has arranged these books for me to read. My Guru Maharaj is so kind that he has given me this sadhu sangha. Let's say even if you plan to go to Vrindavan or you get association of some very great devotee and you're hearing katha from him or her, the thought must be that my Guru Maharaj is so kind that he has made me hear this harikatha. Whatever I am hearing, my Guru Maharaj is very kind that I am given this opportunity to hear. These deities belong to my Guru Maharaj and he is kind to give them to me. So I am serving on his behalf. When we do parikrama also, the meditation is my Guru Maharaj is walking ahead and I am walking behind him. I am not doing parikrama. I am doing anusharan. I am simply walking behind him. Jananugami. Tishtan vrajetad anuragi jananugami. I am simply walking behind my Guru Maharaj. And it just so happened that my Guru Maharaj went around Govardhan. So I also went around Govardhan. You see? Like when we wear clothes and we do some activity, let's say we are cooking. The person is cooking. But the clothes are on the body. It seems that the clothes are doing everything. But the clothes ka fortune is that the clothes are on the body of the cook. So actually the person performing the activity is our Guru Maharaj. Who is giving us the power to speak? Our Guru Maharaj is giving us the power to speak. Who is giving us all the sadhu sangha? Who is giving us the deities? Who is giving us even corrections that we receive from other devotees? Who is teaching that? Our Guru Maharaj. Then our atheistic mind will say, but my Guru Maharaj is sitting somewhere, but he is not arranging. We have to understand. It is Akhand Guru Tattva. Gurudev is present everywhere. If he was sitting in one place and if he won't know and if he is not the one arranging, then why did we take initiation from him? Because this is Martya Buddhi, right? I am sitting in one place. I cannot arrange. I don't know. And if he is also sitting in one place, he cannot arrange and he doesn't know. Then why am I surrendering to him? Isn't that the consideration that he is just another mere mortal? Right? na martya buddhi soyeta. So we must understand, just like we know that Krishna's present everywhere and Krishna's only making arrangements, Krishna's only being kind, but Krishna cannot be alone. Krishna always is with his associates. And we must understand, we should consider our Guru Maharaj to be the best among associates of Sri Krishna. So wherever Krishna is present, our Guru Maharaj is also present. So where is Krishna not present? Ask Prahlad Maharaj. He's present everywhere, right? So our Guru Maharaj is also present everywhere. The sun may be in one place, but the sunlight is everywhere. Is it not? Similarly, we can see that the the government, or the, let's say, the police station may be in one place, but the influence of the police is everywhere. Right? We can see that maybe the clouds are pouring from one place, but the water vapor is present everywhere. Maybe the milk of the cow is coming from the udder, but the milk is present throughout. So similarly, Guru is one medium. The physical manifestation is one medium, but his influence is everywhere. He is there all over. And it is his mercy. We must be completely convinced. So what he says is what we must do. We have to forget what we want. We must forget that I am doing it. So this chanting japa, in fact, Srila Jiva Goswami, and I would like to conclude with this because it's over time. And I have this habit of talking too much. So I somehow curtail myself with this last point. In fact, Srila Jiva Goswami, he in the Sandarbhas, he quotes this very famous verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, where it says that yatha deve tatha guru tasyete katitha yartha prakashante mahatmara yasya deve para bhakti. That if somebody has as much love to the spiritual master as much as he has for Krishna, then such a person becomes enlightened. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, this is one level. But even higher than this are those who have love for Guru higher than the love that they have for Krishna. Why? We all can understand this like this. That Krishna is there in our heart for all times to come. Did we become free from Maya? We did not. But when Krishna's representative as Guru comes once in one life, now we are free from Maya. Ramachandra is present. Was Mother Sita freed? No. But when one Hanuman went, the whole Lanka was set on fire. And then after Hanuman went, then Ramachandra came. So Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. First Guru comes. Krishna arranges Guru in our life. Krishna sends Guru to us. And then Guru takes us to Krishna. So one must have more love for the spiritual master than Krishna. And Srila Jiva Goswami Pad also says, very beautiful point to ponder upon all day and in fact all life. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, there are two kinds of disciples. One disciple is who serves Guru to please Krishna. His main intention is to please Krishna, and he knows that by serving Guru, Krishna is pleased, so therefore he will serve Guru. He said, but even higher than that is that disciple who serves Krishna to please Guru. That his purpose is to serve the spiritual master. Now, spiritual master is happy if I worship the deity, so let me serve the deity. Spiritual master is happy if I chant Krishna's name, so let me chant Krishna's names to please my Gurudev. If my Gurudev is happy in me reading Shastra, then I will read Shastra to please him. Not that I am serving my Gurudev to please Krishna, but I am serving Krishna to please my Gurudev. And he says, between the two, the second is considered to be first. First class. So in this way, dear devotees, through this section of Sri Nimai Pandit, holding one hand of Jagannath Mishra and one hand of Gangadas Pandit and being a student at his lotus feet, we can, on a practical front as sadhakas, we can understand whatever may have been our past. The past have been because of we thinking that this is what I want and this is something that I don't want. We have been stray dogs for so many lifetimes. But now we have an opportunity to become a pet dog, with a dog belt of Kantimala around our neck and the master of Sri Guru. With this, now the stray dog doesn't have to worry. Before, the stray dog had to worry and go from one dumpster to another finding food. In the rain, what to do? In the sun, what to do? Amid snow, what to do? What to do if I find food? What to do if I don't find food? What to do if I have some health problem? That's how we were for lifetimes. But now, by the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu, we have become pet dogs. And this example is in line with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, Bandhiya nikate amare pali pe, rohibo tumara dware. That my Lord, I am a dog at your door. May you always tie me to your lotus feet. I will bark when those who oppose your philosophy come. And whatever little biscuit prasad you throw is what I will accept. So in this way, dear devotees, we have this fortune of surrendering to the spiritual master. The quicker we do, the faster we get released. The more we delay, the more we extend our visa of staying in this material world. Akhand Guru Tattva Ki Jai. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.